The Lord has laid on my heart the text for you this afternoon. It's just three words in the reading that we read together, 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 9 we find these three words, a peculiar people. Now this afternoon, some of us may feel that we look a little bit peculiar. Some may feel within themselves that they are peculiar. But what's in a name? And I'm sure you've often heard the expression or used it yourself that when something extraordinary or something unusual happens, we say, how peculiar. I've used it many times in my life, and it was often expressed while I was a boy in Norfolk, being brought up in a village there. And you know, to the unbeliever and to the world, which we often refer to, we are peculiar. Well, why is that? Well, we're peculiar because we don't run with them. We don't believe like they do. We don't frequent their habitats. The Lord has taught us different. He's brought us and saved us from these things that we frequented and places in the past. What a wonderful God and merciful He is to us. And you know, we're not only peculiar to the world, but in some sections of the church we're peculiar also. Well, how can this be, you ask? Even Mr. Cameron recently declared that he believed that we're still a Christian nation. Well, I don't know about you, but travelling to this little place of worship week by week, we see very little evidence that we are a Christian nation. On the other hand, we see the golf course car park full to brimming and overflowing. We see pleasure seekers flowing into Aldborough for fish and chips. And even you yourselves, I don't say every Sunday, but most Sundays this time of the year, you're held up as you turn off the A12, and there's people overflowing at the car boat sale. So I don't know where Mr. Cameron's eyes are, but they're certainly not within our nation, and we have to conclude that our nation as it is today, in our present generation, is a nation ripe for God's judgment. So, as the Lord's return draws nearer, I think the world will look upon us with even more contempt, because they'll view us as being peculiar. But having said that, just bear with me for a little while and we'll hear what God is saying about being peculiar in His Word. If you'd like to turn with me to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, these are the words that we find. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. A peculiar treasure. Well, as I said in my prayer, we must thank God and praise His great name for all His many mercies to us over these many years. But you know, Although God's word was initially in that verse to the nation Israel, we're a spiritual nation. So the word can be applied to us as individuals and collectively as an assembly of God's people. A treasure. God views us as a treasure. And you might ask, well, why in this verse of our text, surely he could have found a better name than a peculiar people. Well, we're peculiar only unto him. How wonderful it is to be a peculiar people in that sense. Not as the world viewers, but as God viewers. And we're going to turn again to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. So we're not only a peculiar people, but in that verse we get the sense of being an elevated people, precious in the sight of God. How wonderful it is that the grace of God has come to us in such a way that our souls are not only saved from sin, but we're treated, after being saved, as a treasure. You remember in the Song of Solomon how God planted a garden with all manner of fruits and what have you that the garden would grow, and round about it he planted a hedge of protection. And inside the people could live at peace. They were abundantly provided for by a gracious and merciful God, and they could enjoy in peace the prosperity that the land provided in that garden. How wonderful God is to us. But if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 18, and the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations that he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honour, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Now we're going to turn to Psalm 135. If you could just bear with me for a little while, because it's important, not what the world think of us, not what we think of one another, but the most precious and important thing in our spiritual lives is what God thinks of us. Psalm 135 and verse 4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. What wonderful words they are, aren't they? To think that the Church of Jesus Christ is God's peculiar treasure. And you know, not one of us can empty God's treasure house, because it's so full and it's so plentiful, and we are the recipients of it. I could go on about the treasury, but we'll just have one last scripture reference, and it's found in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, when I can get to it. Well, with a new Bible, the pages don't want to turn where you where you want them to. But there, we'll leave that for now if we can't get to it. I was speaking with Andrew a few months ago, and we've talked about one thing and another, as you do. And I didn't know in all my Christian experience that there are assemblies of God's people that call themselves the peculiar people. This amazed me because I can see the logic of it perhaps, but I hitherto, until Andrew revealed it to me, that round about Chelmsford Way there are two or three assemblies where the people there call themselves the peculiar people. Well, as I've tried to show you, in that sense, we're peculiar, perhaps in many ways, but importantly, we're peculiar unto God. And also, the word revealed reveals that we're a precious treasure. You know, these three words in our text are not the only title that God has given us. Verse 9 reads, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Well, what higher title could be bestowed upon such a sinner as me as being a royal priest? I don't feel like it. I know I don't deserve it. I know that without God's grace and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, I should not be here where I am today. But if I have any boast, it is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And I do pray today that each and every one of you can relate and confess that without Christ, whom we are absolutely dependent upon for salvation and for this walk in our Christian lives, we could not be anything that God described here. A peculiar people and a precious treasure. I said about how the world is passionate about precious things. There's a lust in our day and age. I know we've been going through a recession, and like the old expression is, we've had to draw our haunches in somewhat. But you see, there's still an abundance of money in some circles to lust after so-called precious things of this world. There's precious art. You remember in the Second World War, the Germans, as they conquered this nation and that nation, and they plundered the precious art and carried it away to Germany. And then you get those people, I'm not slandering the rich, I've got nothing against the rich, but it's the way they live that I'm against and God's word is against. And how they accumulate to themselves all manner of precious art and artifacts and sculptures and what have you. And the pop stars and the stars of this present day football, they're swimming in money. And what do they do once they've garnered unto themselves all these precious things? They build the highest wall that they can build. They install the latest technological security systems, and they live in fear day by day because they fear that the thief will break in and steal their precious artifacts. But you know, as the Lord's precious people, we have a sovereign protector. The hymn says, doesn't it? A sovereign protector I have. And he looks after all our daily needs, whether they be temporal, whether they be spiritual. The Lord has promised, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be with thee unto the ends of the earth. What a wonderful promise this is. And he alone is faithful and will fulfill every promise that he has made to his children. And you know, although Satan comes in and the world seek to persecute us and to call us into question, you know, our faith, which the Lord has given us, will see us all our journey through, I'm sure. Not one soul that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for, not one with the weakest measure of faith will ever be left behind. God will fulfill all his promises to you and to me, and none will be left behind. Oh, his precious blood, how dependable, how dependent, utterly dependent we are upon the Lord Jesus and his precious blood. How we must keep on pleading it. How we must confess it. How we must thank God for it. Oh, the precious blood that the Lord Jesus shed for our sins. But last but not least, there is the price that must be paid. You know, in the world, as I've just said, it's unthinkable the amounts of money that are changing hands. Do you remember a few months ago there was a big painting come up on the news and it was entitled Scream. Someone paid £6 million for it, and I couldn't see anything in it. You talk about the Lord's people being peculiar. How about the world? Can't you think, with such sums of money changing hands, what a sham it is, isn't it? There must be a price that is paid. If you have time, or if you're interested, just read two verses in Psalm 139, one of my favourite psalms, verses 15 and 16. And it speaks not only of the price that was paid, but the plan that was put into operation before the world was made. Oh, how wonderful our God is. How great is all his works. But you know, this is what the world want to be doing. And this is what the gospel invites them to. If you turn with me to Psalm 55 and verse 1. This is God's invitation to the lost sinner. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. The price has been paid, dear friend. There's no more price to be paid than that which is paid. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all for you and for me. How wonderful it is to know this simple yet profound truth, that Christ has fulfilled everything appertaining to you and to me regarding salvation. And you know, there's not only a price to be paid, but before the price was paid, God is the greatest artist there ever was and ever is. You know, most well-known and famous artists, before they start to paint something, they have a plan in mind, or a vision, or an object. And they start with a blank canvas. And you know that's just how God started, with a blank canvas. Except that the canvas was blotted because of our sin, and it needed the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world as our sinless Saviour, the Son of Man and the Son of God, to take away all those blotches of sin that was on the canvas, that blurred our vision and caused us to unbelieve the gospel. But God is the greatest artist. He starts with a blank canvas, and little by little, he creates. And like the well-known artist, what he starts to create, he keeps under cover. You know, you've seen pictures where an artist has been in the process of either painting or creating a work of art, and until the project or the painting comes to completion, he keeps it under cover. It's not revealed until the final work is done. And you know, that's just how God works as an artist. There's a lot we don't know, and there's a lot we don't understand. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for us. But prepare them he is and will do. And when the work is finished, and the last soul is brought to the Lord Jesus for salvation, then all the wraps will come off. All the plans and purposes of our wonderful God will be revealed. And the final picture you and I will be so privileged to see is the Lord Jesus Christ in all his risen glory and majesty and power and dominion and authority. What a prospect there is in store for you and I, and for all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Saviour. One day we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Then we shall be able to praise him as we ought, and to thank him for our eternal salvation. Blessed be his holy name. A peculiar people God might term us to be, but one day we shall be called a glorified people, and we shall be with him where he is for now and evermore. May the Lord bless just these few humble thoughts from his word this afternoon, and the Lord be with us as we continue in our worship. Amen.